And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center, your hometown hospital for the New York Giants. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. David, the Giants come off that game in London, then the bye week, and then beginning Wednesday, they were off until they came back this past Monday. So how do you think the players and the coaches are handling it?
Well, I think it gave them a time to rest, regroup for these last nine games of this season, and to give them the health that they needed. That's a time, but you need to take to heal up, get yourself ready. But more than anything, that's a self-evaluation time as a coaching staff, as a player. And you need to figure out what you need to do moving forward here to put your players in the best situations to win. But as a player, fix up any technique flaw that you need to put yourself in the best position to play your best.
Now, on Sunday, the Giants will host the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get a look at the injury report as the Giants prepare for this game. And as you look at it, all of these guys were at least limited at practice. So that's pretty good news for them in terms of their ability for the game. Now, with the bye week, that gave GM Jerry Reese an opportunity to evaluate where his club stands.
I think the defense have showed signs of being a pretty good defense. Some things we need to do to be more consistent. But I do see some signs of a really good defense out there. Offensively, we definitely need to pick up the pace offensively in a lot of categories. And I believe we did some things over the break and kind of self-scouted a little bit to look into what's going on with our offense. And obviously, we need to run the ball better. We need to do better down the red zone. Got to score some points. Our special teams, I think our punter's done a really nice job. People don't talk about him much, but he's done a nice job. We do need to, in the return game, don't get any chances in the kick return game, but as a punt returner, you know, we got a dangerous guy back there. We got to give him some chances, and we're hoping to do that.
So it's clear that Jerry Reese would agree that the Giants have yet to play their best ball yet this season. But when you look at the standings, David, as of today, if the playoffs started, the Giants would be a wild card.
They most certainly would be because of the dynamic and the parity of the NFL right now and teams that are having bad success like the teams in the NFC South. But more than anything, the Giants have to take care of their own business and control their own identity and control their destiny, which starts this Sunday up against the Philadelphia Eagles. And you hate to say this, but this is a must-win for the New York Giants football team, because if they don't win this game, then they're going to be playing catch-up for the rest of the season. And I believe that's where the loss to the Redskins will haunt them down the road.
Well, the one highlight that the Giants can point to through the first half of the season has been their rushing defense. And if they got that going, they're going to be in a lot of games.
Most certainly do. If they turn things around like they have from 15 to 16, and especially now, like we talked about, the self-evaluation, if they can continue to stop teams on first and second down and put them in third and long positions, that's where we're going to see this total of sack production and the ability to affect the quarterback get into play. I think the fact that they have not been able to pressure the quarterback is a systematic thing where it takes all 11 out on the football field. They have to have good coverage, but they're going to have to lean on the outside pass rushers in Olivier Vernon and JPP, and they've got to find a better way to press the pocket and put it right into the lap of the quarterback to flush it to the defensive ends.
I'll tell you one thing. The defensive line has played the run a heck of a lot better than people give them credit for. Everybody thinks they're going to be pass rushers, but they've really done a really good job of stuffing the run up front and helping out the rest of the guys on D.
And that's the greatest thing that you see, is this is a defense that is building confidence, and they are swarming to the football. I think the game in London was a sign of what this defense could be and the potential of who we all thought that they would be this season. You're just hoping that they take that and move it forward here into this game and have the four takeaways like they had up against the Rams and the three sacks, because let's face it, once you start building that confidence as a group, that's what is expected of you week in, week out.
Now, let's talk about the corners for a second, because the Giants are in the top 10 in terms of the best defenses and giving up the fewest touchdown passes, and quarterback rating also exceptional when you look at what the opposition has been held to.
They really have. And like I said, this is a time where we will see the Giants continue to pick up and systematically do things schematic-wise where they have flexibility and where they have help. I think that is the strength of Steve Spagnuolo, his ability to have a diverse understanding of a 4-3 and a 3-4, But what he needs is a healthy defensive unit in order to be able to make those changes on the run and make changes at halftime like they need to.
In fact, the Giants have only given up 7 touchdown passes all season. Let's look at our Twitter question this week. The caller or the Twitter person wants to know, is Landon Collins the defensive MVP for the first half of the season? He is 2nd in the NFL amongst defensive backs with a team-leading 57 tackles.
I would say that is a unanimous. Yes, he is the defensive MVP thus far. Last week was a huge week for him, 2 interceptions and the 1 taken back for the touchdown. And I think he has made the biggest jump from last year to this year than anybody on the Giants team. He's playing much more confident, and the addition of Eli Apple, Janoris Jenkins, and the rest of the crew has helped him elevate his game to where he's playing to his strengths up front.
All right, when we come back, we will diagnose more about what's going on with this football team as the Giants prepare to take on the Eagles. Stick around. More coming up on MSG. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference live here on MSG. Head coach Ben McAdoo and the Giants are getting ready to take on the Eagles. Let's send it to the podium right now.
Game in the division. The team's excited to play a good Philadelphia team. Their defense is a hard-charging unit. You know, their front four leads them. They're deep and talented along the defensive line. Graham and Cox and company are playing very well up front for them. Athletically, their linebackers can run and they can hit. And their secondary has a lot of position flexibility. They have some guys that can play some different spots with Jenkins, McLeod, and Watkins. Offensively, they're a West Coast ball control outfit. That's their foundation. They use personnel groups and creativity to try to create confusion for the defense. Wentz is a big, strong, athletic quarterback who is acclimated well to the pro game. They're deep and experienced along the offensive line. Matthews is their featured ball carrier, and he can carry the mail. They have a trio of playmakers in the pass game, while they like to deal the ball with Sproles, Ertz, and Matthews. They feature those 3 guys inside. Special teams are one of the most consistent and disciplined units in the league, and have been that way for about three or four years. Sproles, Huff, and Smallwood all factor into the return game. With that, we'll open it up.
They have about 12 different guys, I think, that have gotten sacks. Do they do a little bit more blitzing, more exotic looks than most teams you've faced so far?
About 1 in 3 snaps they pressure. They're not a high-pressure team, per se. It depends on the situation, but they do a nice job with their defensive line, creating pressure, squeezing the edges, getting their front up the field, and they rotate a lot of different guys that way.
Coach, as someone who's been around a lot of different offenses over the years, what does Carson Wentz do differently from other rookie quarterbacks that helps him get acclimated to the NFL game faster than other rookie quarterbacks?
You look at him, he has prototypical size. He moves well in the pocket already for a young quarterback. He keeps 2 hands on the ball, which helps him. He can slide, he can move, and he can come on out both ways, left and right, and make throws both left and right. Plays with his eyes down the field even when the pocket's dirty.
How much do you think your team needs to change coming out of the bye after what you've seen in the first half?
What do you mean change?
Is it important for you to do things differently, or do you kind of just stay the course?
We're going to stick to the plan. We're going to, you know, we took a look at ourselves personnel-wise. We took a look at ourselves schematically. We're going to make some adjustments to roles with players, acclimate some more guys in, maybe de-acclimate some guys, and make some adjustments schematically and move on down the road.
What gives you confidence that plan has you heading in the right direction so far?
Just seeing the way the guys work, the way the guys respond. We're getting better each and every week in practice, and we anticipate that to continue on Sundays.
You obviously you didn't make a trade, obviously, on the deadline, so I would assume that means you've got some level of confidence in what you have here. Are you pretty confident that you've got the roster to make a run at the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm very confident in the team, in the locker room, in the coaching staff. And, you know, you always explore options out there, but you value draft picks as well.
Is it overstated how much you can change in a bye week? I know we make a big deal about it, but...
I would say, you know, your team is, your players are what they are, your staff is what it is. You take a look at what you do well, what you don't do well. You make some adjustments. You try to work on things you need to work on, but you can't fix everything over a bye week. But you need to get healthy and make sure you try to squeeze an extra practice in, a couple extra workouts in, and take a look at as much film as you can.
What kind of dimension does Zach Ertz bring to their offense?
Yeah, he's an athletic guy. He's a big target for him. He plays the game fast. He's smart, and he's earned the trust. He's played with a few different quarterbacks and has earned the trust of all those quarterbacks.
Ben, how would you describe your interview with the Eagles? And was there a point where you felt like there was a real chance that you might end up there?
You know what? It was good to go through the process. I went through a few of them. You know, it was beneficial to go through it, to learn through it. I think they have good people down there in Philadelphia. And, you know, it worked out the way it worked out.
Did you interview in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Was it weird? Were you actually in the building? Or?
I wasn't in the building, but it wasn't weird, no. It was, no. Yeah.
Have you thought about that all this week? That, you know, you could have been there, Tom could have been there even when you got the job here? And then,
no. No, focused on preparation.
How's Odell doing health-wise? I mean, what did you see out there from him today?
He was limited today, but he got some work done.
Is he moving well in your estimation?
Yes.
Why has he been able to be more productive in the second half of seasons? You know, it was obviously only the two so far, but you know, you've been his offensive coordinator in those times. It seems like the second half of the season he really increases.
I think offenses in general get more productive in the second half of seasons. I think they have a chance to work with each other's defenses. Usually start ahead of the game, and. You know, Odell's a talented player, and the more he practices, the more he gets underneath him rep-wise, the better he seems to get.
Yeah, the close.
Verhey and Thompson on track to play this weekend?
They were both limited today.
Odell had close to, I think it was 500 yards last year out of the slot. Much smaller number at this pace right now out of the slot this year. Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd like to implement more maybe in the second half of the season, or?
Are you fine
with kind of him being on the outside most of the time?
Yeah, each week you take into consideration your matchups. That plays a big part of it, what you like schematically versus what they do schematically. So you take everything into consideration.
But is there one area of this team that you want to see improved in the second half?
No, I think we need to, in all three phases, just continue to work and get better in everything that we do. And it really starts in the practice field, and it goes back to fundamentals. As the season goes long, if you spend too much time on schematics and you don't continue to work on the fundamentals, things get sloppier.
Barry is still listed with a concussion. I know that was the original injury, but is he all clear of everything now and just his condition? Nat Barry?
He's still in the protocol.
He's still in the protocol?
Yes.
That's been a long time. It's a pretty severe concussion for him.
Yeah, he's still in the protocol.
So he's still not cleared to play?
Correct.
Is it just contact? Is that where he's at, or where is he at in the protocol?
He's able to practice.
With contact?
No contact, non-contact.
Do you do anything differently coming out of the bye week? And I know it's last season, but you know, you guys kind of went into a tailspin kind of coming out of the bye last year. Do you do anything differently to make sure that you guys are more prepared for this similar situation?
I think last year, like I said before, is in the rearview mirror.
Do you do anything differently to make sure you come out of a bye week strong?
You know what? We spent a lot of time, you know, looking at some things schematically and personnel-wise. We looked at the schedule a little bit and things we can do as far as rest and recovery to make an impact, and we're confident it'll pay off.
Do you foresee a bigger role for Perkins going forward?
Again, we'll, you know, personnel, I'm not going to talk about game plan up here, but he's a young guy. He's coming on nicely.
You mentioned going back to the fundamentals. Based on what you've seen Monday and today, do you feel that they're coming into, you know, making progress in that regard?
Yeah, it was nice to have an extra practice on Monday. We hit the field for about an hour, so we made some progress there. Tomorrow will be a big day for us getting the pads back on.
Ryan was added to the injury report with an elbow. What happened? Just something like
sore.
Ben, Doug is going through the same thing in Philadelphia as a first-year head coach. Has there been anything? You're almost halfway through your first season that has been challenging or that unexpected in your first year?
Yeah, about a handful of things. Yeah,
like.
If you've been paying attention. There have been some things that have been challenging, but, you know, again, you put the blinders on, you go to work, you support the locker room, and you hold each other accountable.
Is there any way to prepare for that?
You be the same guy you always are. You be consistent.
How much does it exceed your expectations, the outside, the non-football stuff that you've kind of had to deal with here?
No, you know, you knew going in there were going to be three dumpster fires every day, and, you know, you deal with them as they come. A lot of things cross your desk that you don't want to deal with, but it's part of the job, and you handle it, and you move on. You stay consistent, you stay in the moment, and you
keep everyone's best in, interest in mind.
Do you know Doug in any way, you know, beyond this meeting, the league meetings and such?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, I met him a few times.
At some point, do you have to change the running game to get it going, or do you just keep going with what you have?
What do you mean change?
Put somebody else in, you know, go with four wideouts and maybe a single back or something?
Yeah, we've factored in, you know, a lot of different options. But, again, we're not going to talk about game planning up here.
Ben, the player that Olivier Vernon was in London, is that the player you expect him to be in the second half, maybe if he's a little healthier?
Yeah, I think he's going to get better as the season goes on, like a lot of other guys on the roster.
We've heard a lot about him being, you know, dealing with an injury, something he's had to play through. How much healthier is he now, or is he healthier now maybe than he was a couple weeks ago?
He's still fighting through the wrist.
Is that something he's going to have to deal with for the duration of the season?
I'm not a doctor.
Two more questions.
You talked about the dumpster fires that inevitably come your way. A chance to kind of take a deep breath by this year and have been there. Do you feel a little bit more like just used to the chaos of it? Kind of, you know, you're just, okay, it is what it is, and you're kind of adjusted. Maybe better to it today than you were a couple months ago.
No, I don't like the bye, you know, personally. I like to stay in the rhythm, stay in the grind. You know, what we do is not normal. Who we are is not normal. I embrace that. I enjoy that. So I don't like the bye. I like to make sure I keep my focus.
One more. No more?
What do you mean by not normal?
Not normal?
Yeah.
That's my wife and kids. I don't get to see them very often. But.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ben. And Coach Ben McAdoo and the Giants continue their preparations for Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Geico News of the Day, 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on your auto insurance. And we're just going to talk about the quarterback and why not. He's usually the lightning bolt for any team. And Eli Manning has a career-high completion percentage, David, of over 64%, but he's only got 8 touchdown throws.
And that's one of the things that people are talking about, because we figured at this point in the season, statistically, Eli Manning would be in the upper echelon of the quarterbacks. But right now, he's ranked at 22. So we've seen good Eli and we've seen bad Eli this season. But we are all hoping that here off of this bye week that they self-evaluate and put this offense in better positions to win, because of the fact of the matter that Eli Manning has only thrown one or fewer touchdowns in 5 of 7 games this season, when he only did that 5 times total last year, that draws concern for your offense. So I think that one of the things that they need to do moving forward here is they've got to find a systematic way to use the short intermediate passing game as an extension of the running game, because that is something that struggled. And in those games that they struggle running the ball, it puts a lot of pressure on Eli Manning to get it done.
I got to address that running game, because Eli has really taken this team on his shoulders to their 4-3 record so far. The running game's only producing 70 yards a pop, and that's last in the NFL.
And that's why you see the issues that they're having like this, and where Eli Manning is forcing bad plays, because the fact that the Giants only have 195 yards rushing since week 4, there are 27 rushers in the NFL that have had 195 yards since then. So for this New York Giants team, they will take pressure off Eli Manning, and he plays his best when they are balanced and they're able to rush the football.
Well, now, the one good thing, though, is that the pass protection's actually been better than most people thought, except for 1 or 2 games. I want to give you some stats here. Eli's only been sacked 10 times and only 23 hits on the quarterback. That is in the bottom 5 in terms of protection in the league. Opponents are not really rattling him.
No, they really aren't. They're getting rid of the football quickly. Eli Manning is processing things at the line of scrimmage and making sure he gets that ball out of his hand. Here's the offensive line working in practice. But this is a time in the season that we have to make sure that the New York Giants offensive tackles step up and play better. Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart on the right side need to step up and be more consistent with their technique moving forward here, because this game up against the Philadelphia Eagles, you know that Brandon Graham and Connor Barwin and those wide nines are going to be screaming off of the
edge. It'd be great to get more production out of the tight ends. Throw in Jarrell Adams, and all three of them have a combined one touchdown catch and are only averaging 7.5 yards a grab.
And not to mention, one of the biggest inconsistent things they're doing is they're having drops and their ability to block at the point of attack offensively. Here you see the fumble by Larry Donnell in London. Here is, even though it's a tough catch, it's a catch you have to make, Will Tye, because that would have been the turning point in this Green Bay Packers game. So the list can go on and on in these dynamic plays that, whereas this tight end group is getting their opportunities because of the three-headed monster outside, you've got to capitalize on it, not only for you as a player, but for your offense to open things up and play in the game that you're capable of playing. And right now, the tight ends aren't doing it.
Good stuff, David. When we come back, we will decipher how the Giants match up against a tough Philadelphia Eagles team. Stick around. More after this on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. It's the Giants and Eagles at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. And when you talk about Philly, you got to start with their defense. It's about causing pressure and getting takeaways.
This is a group that plays fast, physical, and they swarm to the football. And that is exactly what Jim Schwartz has brought to this defense. They play a little chippy. They play on the cheap side. They're the forced most penalized defense in the NFL. They have 7 personal fouls and 1 roughing the passer. So this is a game that the Giants offense has to maintain discipline so they don't fall into any of those traps. Not to mention, we talked about the offensive tackles. They've got to do a great job on the outside up against Connor Barwin and up against Brandon Graham, who are pass rushing very well, because Fletcher Cox is a absolute force in the middle of the
Now, on the other side, on offense, they are ultra-conservative with their rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz. They don't want him making mistakes.
No, they run a West Coast system, and they take the pressure off of him by having a balanced attack. Lots of three-step screens, moving the pocket, and that's where he's been very impressive, not just at the line of scrimmage with his confidence and his poise putting his team into plays, but his ability to throw accurately outside of the pocket.
All right, so that's it. Remember, the salute to service on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. The Giants will definitely be respecting the military, as they always do here. Watch for the green fatigues. Watch for the ribbons, et cetera, et cetera. It's a great time. We salute all the military around the world. Thanks for joining us on Giants Press Conference Live. We'll see you again next time.